I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner. A weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Have you ever wondered, does God have a sense of humor? Is there humor anywhere in the scriptures? If you read carefully, you can find humor in many places in the Bible and a few places in the Book of Mormon. It's mostly missed because we read the scriptures with the proper serious attitude. But it's also sometimes missed because most readers don't understand the types of humor used appropriately by ancient authors. For instance, most readers have no idea Jesus, Paul, and many others in the Bible intentionally said some very funny things, little gems of humor used to make a point, just waiting for you to read them. Here are just a few. One that I really like is from the Book of Mormon, Book of Omni, verse 9. This shows how some writers in the Book of Mormon did a better job of chronicling events in their life under their stewardship than others. Here's what Chemish says. Now I, Chemish, write a few things. I write in the same book with my brother, for behold, I saw the last which he wrote, that he wrote it with his own hand. And he wrote it in the day that he delivered them unto me, and after this manner we keep the records, for it's according to the commandments of our fathers, and I make an end. That is the funniest job of saying nothing I think I've ever seen. Chemish writes stuff. Why? Because he's supposed to, and he saw his brother do it, and so there you go, and he's done. I've always smiled when I read that. In the Bible, we find humor. It's expressed with sarcasm, hyperbole, exaggeration, and some other methods as well. In LDS culture, it's often missed because the King James Bible is now 410 years old. It was written in early Middle English, often called Elizabethan English, and readers miss much of Shakespeare's humor for the very same reason. It's just not the kind of humor we use today. But it's all over in the Bible if you look for it. Okay, here's some examples. In 2 Chronicles, as you read about the reigns of the kings from Solomon to Jehoshaphat, next time you get to 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 20, maybe you'll pause and laugh a little bit when you read about how unpopular King Jehoram was. The people must not have liked him much. This is what 2 Chronicles 21:20 says. Quote, Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. He passed away to no one's regret and was buried in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings, close quote. So you've got to laugh a little bit at the sense of humor of the Old Testament author who wrote this, who opines that no one regretted Jehoram's passing away, and he was so bad that he was not buried in the tombs of the kings. All right, let's take another one. Psalm 37, verses 12 and 13 tells us that God laughs. Quote, "The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them, but the Lord laughs at the wicked because their reckoning will come." Close quote. Laughter here shows the folly of the wicked and how their efforts will come to naught, because the psalmist says those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land, and the Lord knows what the wicked face is a reckoning. There's some humor there in Psalm 37. We read the same kind of an idea in Psalm 2, verses 1 through 4. Here's what it says, quote, "Why do the nations plot, and why do their people make useless plans? The kings of the earth have joined together to turn against the Lord and the Messiah. They say, let's cut our ties and set ourselves free from the Lord." Verse 4, "In the heaven, the Lord laughs as he sits on his throne." His laughter there is at the futility of the evil rulers of the earth. There's a similar kind of humor that talks directly about God, but this time it's a positive kind, not about the wicked. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 shows God's laughter then in a little bit different context. Quote, "The Lord your God wins victory after victory and is always with you. He celebrates and sings because of you, and he will refresh your life with his love." Talks about God celebrating and singing. Have you ever thought about God celebrating and singing because of you? That's what Zephaniah chapter 13, verse 17 says. Now, there's a serious time in the Bible when Moses and God discuss the rebellious children of Israel who are worshiping a golden calf below at the base of Mount Sinai. But there's also a little bit of humor in this very serious situation, if you look closely. What's the humor? Well, neither God nor Moses want to claim the children of Israel at this point in time as theirs. Here's what it says in Exodus chapter 32, verses 7 through 9. The Lord said to Moses, "Hurry back down the mountain. Your people, Moses, are acting like fools. They have stopped obeying me and made an idol." So then Moses replies, "I've seen how stubborn your people are, and I'm angry." Moses tried to get the Lord to change his mind. So he says, "Bring your people out of Egypt. Please don't be too angry with your people." So here, Moses is telling God, because the children of Israel are bad, "Well, God, they're your people. Don't be too angry at them." And the Lord's saying, "Moses, they're your people. I'm not claiming them now. They're being bad." Kind of a funny exchange. All right. Neither God nor Moses wants to claim the misbehaving Israelites at that important time. Jonah, have you ever thought of the story of Jonah as being a bit humorous? Well, there may be a little bit of humor there. Jonah opens the story with disobedience. He's going west to Tarshish when God commands him to go northeast to Nineveh. This results in Jonah having, shall we say, a time out to think about things in the belly of a great fish for 3 days. During that time, Jonah changes his tune after this serious time out and does what he's told. To me, there's a little bit of humor in God's knowing the exact way to persuade Jonah to prophesy to the wicked. It's a great moment. Here's another moment that we often think of as being very, very serious, but has a little bit of humor there as well. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 27, Elijah is teasing, or maybe even ridiculing, the priests of Baal who are trying to get their god Baal to light a pile of wood on fire. We'll be back with the details right after our break. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. If you have a question or comment about today's program, send me an email. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com. I'll be happy to respond. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We're back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. So when we took our break, we were talking about Elijah and how he inserts a little bit of, shall we say, sarcastic humor when he's talking about the priests of Baal. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 27, the priests of Baal have this heaping pile of wood, and they're trying to get their god Baal to light this pile of wood on fire. Since Baal's a false god, nothing's going to happen. And Elijah knows that. Baal's priests cry out and even cut themselves to get Baal to send fire from heaven, but nothing happens. Elijah teases them. Listen to what Elijah says. Quote, "Shout a little louder, you priests of Baal. Maybe Baal isn't noticing you because he's deep in thought. Or maybe he's busy. Or he's traveling somewhere. Or maybe Baal's asleep. Just wake him up." Close quote. That's Elijah teasing the priests of Baal before Yahweh, the true God, lights the wet wood on fire that Elijah had. Humor in the New Testament. Due to time constraints, let's jump to the New Testament. There are nuggets of laughter in many places. During the ministry of Jesus, he talked about others sometimes with humor. There's a wonderful author who wrote a book quite some time ago, gentleman by the name and a scholar by the name of Elton Trueblood, who wrote a wonderful book called The Humor of Christ. And he counts 30 separate times when Jesus intended to convey humor to be funny and make a point. When understood correctly, we see that Jesus drew in his audiences and he mixed some humor in with some very dramatic and important points. Let's take a look at some of these examples. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, Jesus' audience, I'm sure, would have laughed at the image of those who show off and toot their own horn when they help others so that they'll get recognition for being so wonderful and helping others. Here's what Jesus had to say about them. Quote, "When you give to the poor, don't toot your own horn. That's what the show-offs do in the meeting places and on the streets, because they are always looking for praise. They already have their reward. When you help the poor, don't let anyone know about it. Your Father in heaven knows when you do something good." Jesus' audience would also have laughed when Jesus described the rulers ridiculously calling themselves everyone's friend because the common people just knew this wasn't so. Luke chapter 22, verse 25 quotes Jesus as saying this, quote, "Rulers call themselves everyone's friends. Don't be like them. Be real friends," close quote. That's what Jesus was saying. Jesus' audience would also have laughed at his story about the persistence of the widow in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. He used it to analogize how important it is to pray and be persistent with prayer. Quote, Jesus told his disciples a story about how they should keep on praying and never give up. In a town, there was a widow who kept going to the judge saying, be sure I get fair treatment in court, close quote. So finally, the judge gives in, and Jesus said, God will protect the good far more than the judge protected the pesky widow who kept bothering him. So pray to God, because doing so is far more effective than even this widow woman who kept pestering the judge. There's kind of a funny sermon if you look at it the right way. Maybe Paul was in the habit of talking too long in some of his sermons. In Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 12, we read about a young man named Eutychus, who's listening to Paul from a second-story window. During Paul's sermon, Eutychus apparently falls asleep, falls out of the window, and dies. The story is probably a comment on how long Paul's talks took. Let's take a look at Paul's humor. Paul uses humor in his letter to the branch at Corinth. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing that he does. Cliques had apparently formed in the Corinthian church. Jewish saints were looking down on Greek Gentile converts. Greek Gentile converts were apparently looking down on Jewish converts. Also, the more wealthy weren't associating with the poorer saints. Or maybe even the poorer saints didn't care for some of the wealthy ones. And maybe the learned who had been taught to read were looking down on those who'd never had the opportunity to learn how to read. Paul makes his point about how all are needed in the church, and he does it with humor and without pointing out the specific problems. Here's what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27, quote, the church of Christ has many different parts, just as any other body does. Some of us are Jews, some others are Gentiles. Some of us are slaves, others are free. Bodies don't have just one part. And here's the humor. What if a foot says, I'm not a hand, so I'm not part of your body? Wouldn't the foot still be part of your body? What if an ear says, I'm not an eye, so I'm not part of your body? If your body were only an eye, you couldn't hear anything. If your body were only an ear, you couldn't smell anything. We need all our body parts. We need everyone in Christ's church. I love the way Paul handles that with humor. There's this healing of a dead girl that I think ends with Jesus breaking some of the extreme tension that would have happened around the death of a child, even when brought back to life. See if you find humor in this as well. Jairus, a synagogue ruler, is anxious because his 12-year-old daughter has just died. Jesus comes along with three of his disciples, and the girl's parents fill the room. This is in Mark chapter 5, verse 40. Jesus goes to the body of the little girl who's passed away, and he commands her, Talitha koum, which means little girl, get up. And immediately the girl got up and began to walk around the room. Mark records the reaction of the people in the room as completely astonished. In other words, they were stunned and silent. Jesus immediately does something to break the tension. He knows this is a 12-year-old girl, and to sort of break people's thoughts away from the grief and the joy and everything else that's going on here, he says, okay, give her something to eat. If this happened today, and Jesus came to someone's home and healed their child, in today's context, Jesus might have said, this is a 12-year-old girl. She's just back from the dead. Give her a sandwich or give her mac and cheese or something like that. This broke the tension and he was able to leave. These kinds of things are found often in the Bible if you look closely for them. There are other indicia that Jesus and our Father in heaven have a sense of humor. A friend of mine suffocated and had a near-death experience, and he met Jesus briefly. You told him he had to go back to earth. His reaction was that he kind of pitched a fit right there at the feet of Jesus because his life was so hard at the time, he didn't want to go back. Jesus' reaction was to burst out laughing and then to wait for him to stop his fit. The laugh was to show him that there was no use. He really did need to go back. And Jesus then showed great compassion and love. There are many examples in the scriptures of wonderful events of humor if you look for them. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.